In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. At the outset, it seems this is a good time to say thank you. It has been a privilege to be part of the opening of this school year. And the kindness and the hospitality which you've extended has been much more than simply heartwarming. It's been just again a sheer joy and a cause for, in my life, great gratitude to Christ. At the same time, I think it would also be appropriate to say that that hospitality ended rather unceremoniously yesterday afternoon when Drs. Wenthe and Justin Schultz took me out to the golf course, which is obviously another topic for another time, but one I think we should visit. I read recently in an article about public speaking that one should never begin any sort of a speech with a question. Given the fact that at least 25% of all my sermons have begun with questions, this did not come as good news to me. But old habits die hard, and so I would begin, if you would, this sermon with a question. Can you remember your first day of school, kindergarten, or first grade? I walked 3 blocks to school with Larry Gilbertson, the kind of friend you'd like. He was technologically advanced, and so he would tie my shoelaces for me when I couldn't make it. Do you remember? Or the first day of high school, from 8th grade to 9th grade. I had to tell my buddies that after being the only 8th grader to make it to the varsity hockey team, that I had decided to switch to basketball for reasons to this day I still am not quite sure. Do you remember? The first day of college, I was greeted warmly on the campus of Concordia, St. Paul, Minnesota, and just about everybody I passed would smile at me as I went by. It was only at lunchtime I realized that my pants were split from my belt all the way down into the crotch, and their smiles probably were not so much by way of hospitality as they were embarrassment. Do you remember? Well, obviously you remember your first day here. There's something like this going on in that text which Paul just read. A first day, if you will. Pentecost had happened. It was all coming together. And now a kind of first, that first address, if you would, in the name of Jesus to one who sits lame. Oh, they'd seen the scene before often enough, Peter and John had, as they came to the gate beautiful, because this is where you expected the lame and the beggars. But this one was just a little bit different than the others, because here this man seizes upon them and says, "Alms, alms, anything you can give me." The story is one that seizes our heart. Silver and gold have I none. It's a first, and the learning curve is about to go straight up for the early Christian church. One of my professors back at the seminary would say again and again, the book of Acts is not properly named. It is the Acts of our Lord Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit in the life of the church, in the life of the apostles. And in Peter's mind and in John's mind, say, what do we do now? We've never quite been here before. Oh, they can remember when they turned to our Lord Jesus Christ and said, there's so many of them, send them away, they're hungry. And he turns to them with that smile wreathing his face and he says, you feed them. And now it is crunch time because he's not here, and yet he is here because he's made promises to them. And he has said, in my name. And in a sense, you risk it all. James and or John and Peter do. In a sense, you risk it all. He is here. He made promises. There is power. Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Stand up and walk. And he does. First test, passed. Crisis moment in the church, the power of Jesus Christ. And yet, I don't think that's the test. That was the easy part, because as you know, the narrative goes on, and this is what happens next. Acts chapter 3. Now verse 11, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. And when Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you?" Here's the test. Not simply for Peter, not simply for John, not simply for early church, but for you and for me and for church today, here comes the test. Why do you stare at us as if by our own power? As if by our own power. What comes to mind? Another question as I say the word power. What goes through? This is not the exousia kind of power, not that a kind of authority power, but the Greek text, this is dynamis, dynamite kind of power, that raw kinds of stuff that really gets things done. It comes to mind. As I think of power, one of the first things that comes to my mind is an early morning trip I will make often down Highway 75 coming out of Topeka. For an anniversary or a dedication or ordination or installation, for all these happy events in the church, I get called and I go past, listen to it, the Wolf Creek Nuclear Energy Station. The name strikes fear and respect. The Wolf Creek Nuclear Energy Station. It rises out of the morning mists to greet me out of that pretty prairie. And I look at it and I say, there is power. And up and down my back, the chills go, not only because it makes me cool during the summer, but because I realize that one wrong move in that whole area could be laid waste. That is an incredible amount of power. What comes to mind when I say power? Even as we sit here this morning, there is prowling around somewhere beneath the polar ice pack, I suspect, a nuclear submarine with enough weaponry in its belly to destroy a nation. Or is it nations? That's power. There is power in Washington. There is power in all those places that hold us in thrall. And secretly we think, if only we had that kind of power, only that kind of respect, only that kind of moment. What comes to mind? Why stay here? Let's go off into the solar system 93 million miles away, and that little solar flare, which we can only begin to suspect how big it is, interferes with our radio transmissions, and we sense there's a lot of power there. And probably we think, well, in 4.5 to 5 billion years, that power is going to be nothing but a cinder out there in space, and we check the fine print in our insurance policies to see if they cover exigencies like this. And we know, because people tell us, that in about 4.5 billion years, the galaxy Andromeda is going to go spinning out of its celestial orbit and crash into our solar system. We think, boy, that's going to be some sort of power, some sort of moment. It was not too long ago I read that somewhere out there in God's infinite space, in his universe, and now scientists say not simply universe, but universes, because universe simply doesn't contain what's going on. Was it only last summer when the scientists who told us that the Big Bang Theory means that everything is slowing down as it expands out of that moment, and they can't account for it, but now it's speeding up. It's going faster and faster. Surprise! That out there in space, there is 2 galaxies for every last man, woman, and child. A galaxy, the last time I counted, is something like 1 billion planets, stars. And there are roughly, what, 6 billion people on this little planet of ours? If there are 1 billion planets for every 6 or every one of us, there should be a choice piece of real estate out there for each of us. And more recently I've read, no, it's not two galaxies, it's 9 galaxies. God, in his infinite wisdom and power, has created 9 galaxies for each one of us. And there's a front porch that is just waiting. What comes to mind when we use the word power. Sometimes, you've probably noticed this, pastors are accused of hyperbole, which I've understood is a big word for exaggeration. What I am about to say, make no mistake about it, is no hyperbole, it is no exaggeration. The greatest power in the universe, the greatest power in the universe is this. I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If necessary, one can demonstrate that, for what nuclear weapon can bring together a husband and wife when the silences have been too long, or the words have been too hot and mean and unretrievable? What other words than I forgive you? What other words that I am sorry? What other words that in the name of Jesus Christ, I hold you now and I will, by God's grace, hold you until death parts us? What kind of power can forgive the prodigal daughter or the wayward son? What kind of power is there in universe or on this planet that can wrest the burden of guilt or touch the depths of our fears? What kind of power can hold a church, a denomination, a holy Catholic church together? What other kind of power is it that can look into the eyes, the dying and dead eyes of a son or a daughter, or a grandmother or grandfather, or a great saint of the church, or one we scarcely know, and say, I say unto you, arise? Only the power of forgiveness of sins can hold today and resurrect tomorrow and keep forever, and into your and mine trembling hands. Make no mistake about it. God gives us this power. And if our hands are not trembling, it may be that we think it is by our own power, as if by the power of our experience, as if by the power of our learning, as if by the power of our place in society, as if by the power of our wisdom, as if by the power of our sacrifice, as if by the power of our piety, as if by the power of our intellect, as if by the power of our skills, as if by the power of our gifts. It will always be, when the church is most powerful, by the power of the forgiveness of sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The legend is told about Saint Francis of Assisi, who was ushered into the Vatican. And by the Pope, no less, he was led down into the papal treasuries, and there before him were all of the precious gems and all of the precious metals. And the Pope looked at him with a sense of satisfaction and turned to him and said, Francis, no longer do we have to say, silver and gold have I none. And St. Francis' response was, neither can you say, take up your bed and follow me. As if by our own power. And are there silver and gold words purer or more beautiful? Who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from sin, death, and the devil, not with silver or gold, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death? Praise God, it is not by our own power. Praise God, there is a power that so far surpasses our wildest imaginings and our most gracious and creative understanding. And the power is this, and it is given to you by our Lord Jesus Christ, entrusted to you by His church in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I forgive you all your sins. Amen.